One of the great sins of the children of Israel, as we have pointed out in our study of this book, is that she assumed that God could love her and continue to love her while she refused to respond to it. I think, you know, one of the most horrible experiences of anybody is to experience the rejection of love. I've told you a couple of times of some of my experiences in middle school, and now I have three boys, one of them out of high school and two of them in middle school. And, you know, when you're in middle school, you're moving from elementary into high school, and you're kind of stuck in both worlds. You're pre-high school and you're post-elementary, and your body is morphing and changing and doing things that it didn't do before, and it's just an interesting time to be in, right, middle schoolers? And they're not speaking to me this morning. But it is a transition time, and all of a sudden, they discover girls. And girls discover boys, all right? And all of a sudden, you start liking all the girls. And then all of a sudden, it kind of hones in on one girl, all right? Well, I did that in middle school, much to my chagrin. I would hone in on one, and she would hone out on me, okay? And I just could not understand, you know? I told you about one time that I got set up at lunchtime. I was told that a particular girl in our middle school class, seventh grade class, she was a nice-looking girl. She was in our seventh grade class, and the boys came up to me and said, "Don, she wants you to sit by her at lunch today." And I'm like, "Whoa!" Now, I was the smallest kid in my class, okay? Now, she was about a head taller than I was. You know, girls grow faster than boys do. And I had to look up to her. I said, "She does." I said, "You guys are lying to me." "No, we're not. She told us that she wanted you to come sit." So I took my Rough Riders lunchbox, you know, the transition, again, post-elementary, pre-high school. I had a Rough Riders lunchbox. You may not remember the Rough Riders program that used to be on television. I had one of those, and I went and sat down beside her. I can take you to the spot. It was over there near the fountain, and the table was set down, and I went and sat beside her, and I opened up my lunchbox, and I took my thermos out, and she looked over me and said, "What are you doing? I'm sitting by you today at lunch. Didn't you want me to sit?" "No!" Okay? "I didn't want you to sit by me." So I took my thermos, and I put it back in my room, and I could hear behind me. My ears were just a-burn. They were laughing. It was the funniest thing. Then I closed my lunch, and I went over there, and I sat with the guys, and I took it for that day. She didn't want me. She had never said they had set me up, okay? And you know what? As a seventh grader, I was crushed, okay? I was absolutely crushed because in my brain, dysfunctional though it was, I believed that this girl actually wanted me, okay, the smallest kid in the class, to sit by her at lunchtime, this nice-looking girl. And I got burned, and I was hurt. You know how you go back middle school feelings? You know, I can't believe it. She didn't want me to sit by her. And not only she didn't want it, she told me she didn't want me to sit by her. And I was crushed inside. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Crushed? Oh, thank you. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. Now, there's a few that identify with us folks that have been spurned in love, you know. I want to tell you something. You cannot go and go and go away from God and His love without there being consequences. God loved His people Israel intently. And what did she do with that love? How did she respond to that love? She didn't respond properly. Instead, she ran as fast as she could away from the one who loved her to her lovers. Now, isn't that strange? People that don't love are called what? They're called lovers. Does that make any sense to you? I never have understood that. The people that least love you are called lovers. She thought she was being loved. She thought she was being cared for by her lovers. But little did she know that it was the one who really loved her who was bringing the garments and the food and was knocking on the door asking about her, and she didn't know it because the lover shielded her from the knowledge of the truth. That's the way it always is, folks. You better understand how this world operates and how religion operates. Religion comes across as a lover. We love you, but they shield you from the truth. They suppress the truth, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1. They don't want you to know the truth. They want you to be attached to them and their belief system. Listen, by God's grace, we're going to preach God's Word from this pulpit. We're not going to preach some perspective, some idea. We just want God to speak to us through His Word. And when you get into Hosea chapters 4 through 14, you have a whole series of sermons that Hosea preaches by inspiration of God to the children of Israel as takeaways from his own experience of dealing with his wife, Gomer. He had love rejected in his life. He had loved his wife with all of his being. And what was her response? To reject him. To turn away from him. Now, remember where chapter 3 leaves off. This is important. Do we know the true outcome of Hosea and Gomer at the end of chapter 3? Not really. We are told that he goes down and he buys her out of the slave block. He takes her. She can't save herself. He takes her up and he brings her home. But is this a guarantee that she is going to love him? No. Once she gets back on her feet, what's going to happen? The Bible doesn't tell us at this point. And the reason it doesn't tell us is because Israel is in the same place. God has reached out in love. He is going to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's tree. They're going to crucify that sent one, Israel. But He's going to come again, the second coming, and Israel is going to receive Him. The one that they rejected the first time, the one who came in love to take away her sin and to make her a new nation, what does she do? They rejected him. They said, he's not the Messiah. He's nothing like the Messiah we want. And so they rejected the one who loved them and gave himself for them. But one of these days when Christ returns, they will turn to the one whom they have pierced, the Bible says, and they will say, my Lord and my King. Now that's yet future. That's yet future. It hasn't happened yet. And so now we're in the interim period. And Hosea is going to deal now directly with Israel from a very new perspective. It's the perspective of having lived through what God is living through at this time. His love rejected. Don't you know that Hosea had a different perspective? When you've lived it, when you've loved, and that love has been rejected, you get a new perspective. Oh yes, he had gone down in love and he had bought her out of the slave market and brought her home to the children. Mama's home now. But does Mama love Hosea? I don't know. Has she come back to that place where she loves him? You see, that's where Israel is right now. Israel, do you love Jesus Christ? And the answer is right now, no. But there will be a day when He gives Israel a new heart and she will love Him and respond to His love. You see, folks, with God, divorce is not an option. Divorce is not an option. He will continue to love her. He will continue to love her no matter how she rejects His love, no matter how she turns away and follows after her false lovers. He will love her and He is going to bring her home. He's going to give her a new heart and she will respond to His love and she will love Him in return. That's what God has always wanted from Israel. And by the way, that's what God wants from us this morning. He wants your love. He wants you to love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Do you love Him this morning? Oh, I'm not talking about this sickly, honey, sugar type love that we have today. You know, I've said this before, when you live in the South, you get called darling and honey by people you don't even know. You go into a store, or you talk on the phone with somebody from the South. Well, hello, darling, how are you doing? Well, I don't even know who this person is. They call me darling. But that's the way it is in the South. Now, does she really love me? Does the lady behind the desk at the local gas station that calls everybody honey, sweetie, darling, does she really love them all? I don't think so. She just grew up calling everybody that, and that's what she calls them today. You see, I'm not talking about this superficial nonsense that we call love today. I'm talking about sacrificial love for your Savior. I'm going to tell you something. This year of 2012 may be a year where your loyalties to Jesus Christ will be tested. How about it? We're living in America that's moving away from its Christian moorings. We're living in America that doesn't hold a lot of time for Christians anymore. Our belief system is under attack in America. And you and I may be called upon. Are you going to stand shamelessly with Jesus Christ? Are you going to be loyal to Him? Are you going to illustrate your love? Are you going to back up your love by standing with Him? Or are you just going to cower in the basement and hide when the trials and difficulties come, when our Christianity is tested, our loyalties are tested? Now, we said last time in our study that the first thing that Hosea had to do before he could say a word, the first thing that he could do before he could illustrate the truths of his message from God, was to get Israel's attention. Had to get Israel's attention. Notice verse 1, chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. He had to first of all get their attention. Let me tell you something. You will never learn the truth or the truth about yourself until you stop talking and start what? Listening. You got to start listening. He had to get the attention of the children of Israel. He says, listen, children of Israel. Listen to my words. The Lord has a controversy with you. Now that's not a very pleasant thing to say. We want positive news. They've got websites now with only positive news. Okay? I want to tell you something. They only have a few pages on their website, lest they repeat themselves. But you know, you can't live in this world and just live on positive news all the time. This world is filled with negative news. And Hosea's message, now remember, we said that God was going to deal with Israel through preaching. Isn't that interesting? How was God going to deal with drawing His people back? Through the preaching of the Word of God. Now, what are we rejecting today in America? The preaching of the Word of God. What's the answer? The preaching of the Word of God. So what do? We reject it. What's He going to do in chapters 4 through 14? He's going to preach to them. Oh, we don't do that anymore. Oh, well, don't you understand that in 2012, people don't like to be preached to? Don't you understand that we've got to change our methods in order to reach this people today? Isn't it interesting that God chose the method of preaching to reach out to His bride, His wife, Israel? That's how He was going to do it. He didn't try any newfangled ideas. He didn't try newfangled programs to get Israel to come back to Him. How was it done? It was done through the preaching of the Word of God. Hear, O Israel. Hear, ye children of Israel. The Lord hath a controversy with you. God was going to read an indictment. He was going to share with them what they had done wrong and how they had gone wrong. Who was breaking God's commandments? Israel. I want you to see in these first three verses, I want you to see two groups of sins, if you want to call it that. First of all, were sins against God's love. And secondly, sins against God's law. And then we're going to have five takeaways for the new year in relation to this. Now, takeaway is a word we're supposed to get rid of in 2012. They always give these lists of overused words from 2011. One of them was occupy. I'm glad we're going to get rid of that word. I've heard that for so much for the last. And another one was takeaway. So I'm going to use it for the last time. All right, today. Five takeaways from Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 for the new year. First of all, sins against God's love. There were three. Notice this, please, in verse 1. Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. These were sins against God's love. It's interesting. That word truth there, and all three of these words make allusions to marriage. I think it's important for us to see that. In both of these categories of sins, the sins against God's love and the sins against God's law, we have allusions to marriage. First of all, it says there is no truth. The Hebrew word there could be translated faithfulness. There is no faithfulness. Being true is the idea. We don't use that expression anymore, but it's a good one. When I took vows almost 20 years ago, this year we are 20th anniversary in July, we took vows, we exchanged, that we would love, honor, and keep one another in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad times, that we would keep ourselves only unto what? Each other. That was with our vows. You ever go back and read your wedding vows? I think it's good in America because we've gotten so far, we don't even call them vows anymore. They're just wishes, you know, wishes. 20 years ago, we were joined together in matrimony and we made vows to each other that we were going to keep ourselves to each other. We were going to be, let's use this expression, we were going to be true to each other. That there wasn't going to be anybody else. There was no longer any searching. There was no longer any going out and trying to find somebody else. But that we were going to be true to each other. That's the word that's used here. Faithfulness. What does he say about the land, the nation? There is no faithfulness here. Loyalty to God. It's gone. That's a sin against love. To not be true to your mate is a sin against love. Secondly, we have the word that's used here, mercy. It's that old Hebrew word that's used throughout the Psalms, hesed. Hesed. It's the plural. It means loving kindnesses. God looked at Israel and said, there's no loving kindness in you anymore. It's gone. That which is basic to marriage, loving kindness, it's gone. It's not there anymore. That's a sin against love. And then thirdly, he says, nor knowledge of God in the land. Very interesting. The word knowledge here is related to the word yada. You've heard that expression, yada, yada, yada. It's a Yiddish expression. I mean, I know. All right? But there is a root word from which yada comes. It's the Hebrew word dat. Dat. It's almost like the sound that a baby would make. And this particular word, which is translated knowledge, is the same word that's used, and Adam knew his wife, Eve. Talking about an intimate knowledge. You see the marriage allusion that's given here? It says, they don't know God in there. There's no intimacy. They worship God. They go down to the temple or they go down to the tabernacle and they worship, but there's no intimacy between themselves and with God. They're just going through the what? The motions. Going through the motions. Let me tell you something. A marriage that goes through the motions is a marriage that's fixing to end. A marriage that's going through the motions is a marriage that's about to end. Because you see, marriage is built upon faithfulness and loving kindness and intimate knowledge of each other. And God says to Israel, you've sinned against my love. You've sinned against my love. Not only have you sinned against my love, but you've sinned against my law. Verse 2. By swearing. The word cursing. This is not improper speech that's being referred to here, but rather the invoking of God's name to call down curses upon others. What is this? This is a violation of the third commandment. It's a violation of the third commandment. Notice the next one. And, say it out loud please, lying. Lying. That's a violation of the ninth commandment. Not telling the truth. We live in a world that lies. This is a pathological world of lying. All you have to do is when you see a microphone stuck up in a politician's face, you know immediately what you're going to get. You're going to get a whole bunch of nothing. A whole bunch of lies. They're not going to tell the truth. The truth is they can't do most of the things that they want to do. And so you're just listening and you say, oh, that sounds great, that sounds great, that sounds wonderful. And then what do we got? We've got the same thing we've always had. Lying. Violation of the ninth commandment. So the first one, violation of the third commandment. Lying, violation of the ninth commandment. Notice the next one. What does it say? And killing. Murder. Not respecting life. We're going to be getting into that in our series that we're doing, that the culture hates Genesis, and I'm going to show you why, that we've been doing. We're going to get into this one right here. Not respecting life. Taking up God's role instead of following what He says in His Word. Thousands upon thousands of babies died in 2011. I don't know how many have died since midnight last night. But so far, the year hasn't been mucked up with the murdering of children and the murdering of other people. We've got murder that's widespread in this world, have we? That's a violation of the sixth commandment. What else did He say about Israel? You're stealing. You're stealing. What is that? That's a violation of the eighth commandment. Taking what belongs to others and claiming it for yourself. Stealing. And then finally, here I said that all of these had some relationship to marriage. What's the last one that's mentioned here in verse 2? And committing adultery. Now, he was not referring to as a nation committing spiritual adultery here. He is saying that the nation made up of people, those people are not honoring marriage. They're dishonoring marriage by living in adultery. So we see these five sins against God's law. Violation of the seventh commandment. So just think about this. Notice the order. The third, the ninth, the sixth, the eighth, and the seventh commandments are violated. How many commandments are there? 10. How many? 5 are mentioned here that are being violated. All of these have to do with our relationship to each other. Isn't that interesting? All these 5 have to do with our relationship to each other. You see, when our relationship is not right with God, when we sin against His love, is my relationship going to be right with you? No. The Bible backs this up. You sin against God's love, your relationship isn't right with God, and you're not responding to His love. How does it play out? It has consequences. And so God isolates the 5 commandments related to our relationship to each other and shows that our horizontal relationships are affected because our relationship is not right with God. I want to say this morning. If you are not responding to God's love this morning, your relationships with each other are not going to be right. And what are we doing today? What are the programs and the seminars and the workshops all geared to? Fixing our relationships with each other. But what suffers? You can go online and find hundreds upon hundreds of sites dealing with restoring your relationships, restoring your horizontal, getting right with your brother and your sister, getting right with your wife, getting right with your mom and dad. We'll show you 5 steps, or we'll show you 10 steps, or we'll show you 12 steps. I'm going to tell you something. They will not work until this one is right. Sins against God's love means sins against God's law. And Hosea says this is a problem. Five takeaways this morning. Five takeaways. A New Year's approach to our text. There are five suggested takeaways for you to consider this morning in light of these verses, verses 1, 2, and 3 that we have this morning. Number one, by God's grace, I will listen and I will talk less. Now what do we take? Hear, O Israel, the Lord hath a controversy. In order to hear, you have to stop what? Talking. You have to stop talking. We live in a world of noise. And we went out to eat last night, and we're having to holler at each other. Hey, trying to talk to each other because the hubbub in the restaurant. What did you say? Would you repeat that? My wife and I were leaning over to each other, listening to each other. Now, we're going to do that more and more often now as we get older. Have to lean over. What did you say? Speak up, honey. I am speaking up. Listen better, you know. By God's grace this year, will you listen more and talk less? That's what God asked of Israel. Would you listen? Would you just listen to what I have to say? By God's grace, I will listen more and talk less. Verse 1. Secondly, by God's grace, I will be faithful and loyal to Christ in every area of my life, no matter what others may say or do. I will be true to Him. That's in verse 1. He said, because there is no truth, no faithfulness, no being true in the land. Oh, how Christ wants you to be true to Him. Are you true to Jesus Christ this morning? Does He mean more than life to you? Does He mean more than your possessions and your plans and your ambitions and all the things you want to do this year, all the places you want to go and all the things you want to get in before the end of the year? Does Jesus Christ rise to the top of all of that, and He means more than life to you? By God's grace, I will be faithful and loyal to Christ. I'll be true to Him this year. Thirdly, by God's grace, I will love my Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. A steadfast love, now get this, a steadfast love free of scandal and infidelity. Now this is, I'm talking about now your relationship with the Lord. Now our lives, humanly speaking, with each other, it ought to be free from scandal and infidelity. But I'm talking about this morning your relationship with Jesus Christ. Will it be a steadfast love free of scandal? Free of infidelity? Notice that. There's no mercy in the land, no hesed, no loving kindness. By God's grace, I will love my Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number four, by God's grace, I will seek to know God intimately, gaining greater knowledge of my Lord each and every day by spending time in His blessed Word and in prayer. That's that last one in verse 1. No knowledge of God in the land. Do you understand in these three? No truth, no being true, no mercy, no love, no knowledge of God. There was a conscious decision made sometime in the past where they stopped doing those things. There was a point in time that they stopped loving Him. They stopped wanting to be close to Him, and they walked away. There was a point in time. There's a point in time where you can come to Him and say, Lord, I want to have an intimate knowledge of Thee. I want to walk with You every step of the way this year. I want us to be in agreement. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3. No, they can't. Does God need to change? No. I need to change. By God's grace, I seek to know God intimately, gaining greater knowledge of Him each and every day of this year by spending time in His blessed Word. And then finally, by God's grace, I will obey His law, knowing that to disobey brings incredible consequences to myself, to those near me, and to my nation. I want you to notice verse 3. I didn't get to that this morning, but notice it very quickly. Therefore shall the land mourn. Why is the land going to mourn? And everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish. Why are they going to languish? Why will the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven and the fishes of the sea be taken away? Because Israel sinned against God's love, and she sinned against God's law. And it had massive, incredible consequences. Not only to themselves, but to those that they knew, and to their nation, and to their land. Do you know why America is suffering so? Why are we seeing so many consequences being played out on a daily basis? Why does it seem like we're falling apart? Because America and the people of America have sinned against God's love, and they have sinned against God's law. Where are you this morning? Where do you stand? Let me tell you something. The greatest sin that you can commit is to sin against God's love. That's the greatest sin you'll ever commit. For God to reach out and to love you, and you turn your back on His love and say, I want nothing to do with it. I will go to my lovers. I will go to this world and they'll love me. I don't want your love. Oh, let me tell you something. Your relationships will never be right. They can't be. They can't be. Because your relationship with God is not right. May we, as we journey through this year, ever how long it may be, if the Lord comes back, it may be a short year. But if He so chooses for us to go through the 360, is it 65 this year or 66? Because we got leap year this year, we got an extra day. What are you going to do with it? You going to honor the Lord with it? You got an extra day? May we, as people who say we profess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, may we follow after Him. May we walk with Him throughout this new year. And by His grace, listen more and talk less. Be faithful and loyal to Him. To love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To seek to know Him intimately and to obey His word, His law, each and every day. Then we can honor Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for these verses of Scripture. They're so powerful. Lord, I pray that You might work in our hearts. Lord, as this indictment was read against the children of Israel, it was read not because that God wanted to destroy Israel, but rather He wanted Israel to come back to Him. He wanted His Israel to come back and love Him only. One of these days that will take place. However, it will take place after much suffering and judgment and chastening, almost destroying the people. And yet there will be a remnant left that will turn to the One whom they have pierced and cry out, Our Lord and our King. And that marriage bond will be restored in all of its glory. And Israel will love God. Lord, I pray that You might work in our hearts. I don't know the needs of the individuals that are here this morning, but I do know this, that every one of us in here can love You more than we are doing right now. We can be more faithful to Thee. We can love You with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. I pray that this might be a year in which we do follow these five takeaways in relationship to what was shared with the children of Israel so many thousands of years ago. Lord, I pray that You would do a work in our hearts. May we not sin against Thy love, and may we not sin against Thy law. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.